Eternity with Al-Meen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al-Meen.
Welcome to the mystical world we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms. My name is Al-Meen, and I am delighted on this, our second show, that deals with the wonderful secrets and revelations of the mystical realms encountered by one who walks between the worlds. And we have the opportunity within these shows to explore the mysteries, those deep laws that hide behind the face value of reality, and to explore hidden kingdoms and the cutting-edge news of changes that are made in the very fabric of existence. And I have with us today Rogier Chardet, one of the masters of the Order of the White Rose from Europe, and also the founding master, not that he is the one that founded it per se, it's been founded by the mother and father, but he is the one that brought it to the United States, the Order of the White Dove. These are very sacred orders, and they have within them only ascended masters. So, Rogier, thank you so much for joining us today and preparing the questions that would allow me to access the information that hopefully our listeners would find interesting and we could share with them.
You're very welcome.
And please go ahead, whatever you want to ask.
Okay, well, let's see, we've got basically some questions about the really definitions of magic, especially, of course, in the light of we have the Order of the Rose and now the Order of the Dove. And the way I see it, it's really about the reestablishment of white magic on Earth. And I know in the previous show you briefly touched upon this, that even magic that was benign or could be used for benign purposes was actually in its foundation would qualify as black magic, and we have a few questions about that, like what you really mean there, so maybe you could elaborate.
Yes, because for many folks it brings up a knee-jerk reaction when the word magic comes forth, and I must tell you that for myself it was the same, because for many years I have walked the path of a Toltec Nagual, and Toltec Naguals teach that there is first ring magic that deals with through the manipulation with intent of one's reality. You can exert power over that reality. That first ring magic utilizes the external. Second ring magic, on the other hand, is done through internal technology. It's the, like, visualization could produce success, for example, etc. Those things are all internal technology. So second ring magic consisted of changing that which is within to change that which is without. Toltecs have always, for some thousands of years, they have shunned the first ring magic and gone only after second ring magic. And they do this because of the fact that first ring magic to them was able to tempt them away from the impeccable life that a Toltec Nagual is dedicated to. As a Toltec Nagual, therefore, I have paid no attention to first ring magic. And then in February of 2005, I was asked by the Mother Goddess of all creation to prepare the masters on Earth for the Earth's ascension that would begin. And at that time, my life became not my own anymore, but it became dedicated to not only setting others free from illusion, as a Nagual is sworn to do, but in fact to become the key turner that would assist in opening the memory as she began to lead a massive cosmic ascension behind her. At that time, that year was dedicated to that. The following year, 2006, was a major year as well, in that it was in January of 2006, and I think I actually previously said 2005, but it was in 2006 that the tunnel that opens at Clonmacnoise in Ireland is a tunnel that has subsequently, in fact, it was closed on the 29th of January by Isis herself. But on the 28th of January, masters that are ascended masters, they were never born nor have they died, they came through that tunnel. And right after, of course, then Isis closed it down. They came to Ireland to reestablish incorruptible white magic among man. And I had to be fluid enough when Mother instructed me to become part of facilitating various things to restore white magic to man. She said man was the only kingdom that did not have it. Angels heal through white magic. Fairies help plants grow through white magic. All around us it abounded, but man had lost it during the cycles of the fall. So I had to be very fluid because previously, even magic that could be used for benign purposes, Rahir, as you pointed out, had its origin in the black magicians of the ancient areas of Atlantis known as Ruta, and before that, there was a multiple number of islands in the area that Atlantis occupied, also having origins. And this is written actually in Chichen Itza in Mexico on the walls, that it is the dragon races that brought back the black magic to man. And that happened before 75,000 years ago, according to Toltec oral traditions. Wicca, etc., it all came from those origins. That's why Toltec Nahuals shunned it. But the white magic that has been reestablished is absolutely pure and pristine. For instance, in the book that I wrote, The Ring of Truth, Mother gives white magical incantations for the people of Ireland. Mother has two languages, or she actually has three, but one was used during the cycles of the fall. The two languages of ascension speaks very specifically, and what it speaks happens, because it's speaking for what we call the Book of Life. What is written in the Book of Life happens. When those incantations are spoken, it is written in the Book of Life that life must move to make them so. Her language is incorruptible. The magic itself is incorruptible. It cannot be used for self-serving purposes. Hence, we can use it without trepidation.
Right. And let's see, but what would you say qualifies as black magic then? What's the definition there? Because obviously a lot of them are applied benignly, but what makes it black, so to speak?
Yes. Let's take black, let's take gray, let's take benign magic, if you want to call it that, that originated from the black. They have one thing in common. The individual's will is imposed on his environment. So that is different, because if anything is not meant for the best good of the interconnectedness of life, and that inclusiveness is everything when it comes to benign magic, it simply will not happen. And you know, Ruhir, I've worked now for how many years with the other kingdoms and the other realms, and have my very dear friends in multiple kingdoms. so many times, you know, I've asked them to assist me with something, and sorry, we can't do it. Well, why not? Well, it's not meant to be. They don't even question it. The white magic of angels or, you know, of high beings anywhere that live in impeccability, if they cannot, if it's not meant to be, they simply are stopped from doing it. In the case of man, where we can't see quite as clearly, it simply won't register. That's why it's not imposing our will. That's why even when benign motives are there, if you use something like Wicca, you can still impose your will when you don't have the full vision to see if this is for the good of the whole. But, my beloved Light family, it is our time for a break, so let's take a commercial break, and please join us afterwards.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
And now we welcome you back to Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And we are in a discussion with Rogier Chardé, one of the masters from Europe, that is a member of the Order of the White Rose in Ireland, as well as the one who has brought the Order of the White Dove to the United States. And he has asked me to give him the definition of magic and white magic. And we have been speaking about the incorruptible nature of the white magic that is now newly restored for the first time in eons of existence to bring light and joy back to the world of man. And that one of the reasons that it is incorruptible is that if it's not for the highest good, it simply will not register. You know, Rogier, what I think might be fun to do for our listeners, this is only our second show. Why don't I speak the language of the mother so they can actually hear it?
Well, I was, in fact, about to suggest that, and I'd very eager to find what the message is, so please, go ahead.
Yes, because always when this happens, Mother has a message indeed for us. There are two languages, my brothers and sisters, and the one is very different sounding and has been used within the ascension cycles of the fall. But the one that I will speak for you this time, and perhaps another time we'll speak the other one, is in fact the ancient language that Mother and Father spoke before they even created other creations. The Father is the very first creation of the Mother, which is the one infinite being expressing as the many, and they function as a unit. This is her language. Ihihia ma'ashata unese ese. Tiyo oku hihia ma'ashatai. Inehta oku hima ta anashba ube. Epioku hihafa agenach. Pishkiaka yanashashana usu. Usutuhnu uvihihia kama anashtaya aba. Ba ukenehve. Sha uta achnava ese. Usherkede kiaka unushayeta. Serve pier kaya uchnu uche, eserve ekie, ta anashva usatna vavi. Belechve ekiaka, uneshve este vana achbari. It is time for the harvest to be gathered. It is time for the sheaves of wheat to be brought in. Carefully are you chosen, the ones this holy day, that hears this information. And as you hear the tones of the tongue that I speak, so you shall awaken within, and you shall know that you are one of the way showers, the great lights of the world. So that is it for today. How about our next question?
Okay, well, the next question, which is actually related to this topic, is how you would distinguish the two types of magic as found in the Order of the Dove and in the Order of the Rose.
The Order of the Rose is frequency-based. It is feminine. And it represents the right brain method of magic. So it deals tremendously much with angelic realms. There are angels that are specially called. It uses mother's language. And it brought in a most extraordinary gift from the goddess to humankind. In August of last year, which is 2006, polarity changed in the cosmos. Opposite energies no longer attracted. Good news for light workers that have been attracting deceit and lies into their life by others. Opposite energies no longer attracted. They, in fact, repelled. Opposite light now attracted. Opposite frequency now attracted. And because Mother did not want well-meaning healers that had very successfully worked with energies before to, in fact, create disease, she severed their power sources so that they would no longer work. In its stead, she gave Bel Vas Vata. And there's a website for it, and it is spelt B-E-L, V for Victor, A-S, P-A, T-A. And if you do a search for that, you will come to the Bel Vas Vata website or its a link on our site, which is at www.spiritualjourneys.com. But Bel Vas Vata, there is a method to do self-initiations, is the gift of the goddess. It is called healing of the heart. The Order of the White Rose was instrumental in helping to birth and bring in this sacred healing modality as well. They work with mother's language in the form of written language, which is sigils. And we show this in the Ring of Truth. There's a whole section on Bel Vas Vata and its sigils. Now, the Order of the Dove, on the other hand, is like the left brain. And it has the language of the Father. And the language of the Father, which you speak, Rogier, is what the incantations are put in. And gods have been created, or ancient gods have been called and upgraded to these higher levels in which we now dwell, having ascended as cosmos. And the magical incantations that are for the Order of the Dove and the predictions and the secrets have come forth specifically for that body of magic. And both of these have just begun. And do you think that perhaps we ought to mention the libraries, do you think? Or have you got that as a separate question?
No, I don't, because I don't think many people really know about it yet, but I think it's a good topic to go into.
Shall we? Okay. Well, the Order of the White Rose, my brothers and sisters, are custodians of the libraries of Isis. They came through the tunnel to Clan MacNoy from Egypt. And in the Isis temple and in the Sekhmet temple, there were keys that they carried with them forward. These keys unlock the Isis libraries. And with their assistance, I have translated out of the thousands and thousands of records in the Isis libraries one set of plates, their gold plates, that were bound with three rings and a green material, a set of plates. I think it had two rings in the back, but it was just a small portion of it that I was able to translate. And there are thousands of records left. The issue only is, how rapidly can I write? There also is another set of libraries that was prepared upon the Father's request by the great master and planetary god known as Sanat Kumara. And Sanat Kumara governed 1,000 years and created as much light as he could upon Earth during that time. These libraries contain the story of the true God of truth, the Father that is Mother's first creation. And it has multiple predictions for our times, multiple pieces of information. I've been in there. I took a group of masters in there with me in October. And Rogier, you were there with us. Incredible, incredible hall where if you walk, there's a blue light within. Wherever you walk, the walls just keep moving in front of you, so it just keeps extending forever. There's a huge labyrinth that's seemingly impenetrable in there, and in the very middle of it, there were tremendously sacred objects that we were sent to retrieve. So those are, again, we have just scratched a surface that we could for in 100 years not finish translating of the records, and that's part of the body that the of information that the Order of the Dove safeguards.
All right, and I think that now that we're on the subject, you know, because there's always so much information pouring through you, that besides the Order of the Rose and that of the Dove, we also have the one, well, the Order of the One Serpent arising, which also has its libraries, etc. So, for the sake of completion, would you give some information on that one?
Yes. Now, we have just a little short time before break, so before I go into it too much, let me explain why it is very appropriate and, of course, predictable that the third body of magic would come forth. When the left brain is fully activated, the right brain is fully activated, and they work in harmony together, as these two orders are doing, one in Ireland, one in the United States. When the left and right brain are brought into balance, my brothers and sisters, the Kundalini arises. The serpent that moves up that energy column called the pranic tube that goes up, straight up the spine. The energy of the sacred fire, or the serpent as it's called, rises when left and right brain are activated. Left and right brain bodies of magic are activated, hence the serpent or the Kundalini magic becomes activated. But let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of the linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to what is our third segment of the mystical world we live in. Only our second show. And we hope to be with you a very long time and to gather around us a like family that want to hear of these deep mysteries that we are seeking to reveal to you. And at this time, we are discussing the body of magic known as the Kundalini or serpent magic that is coming forth. So Rogier, welcome back and thank you so much for preparing these questions. So your question to me was what exactly we wanted to discuss regarding the serpent. We wanted to fill the folks in about it in some way, did we?
Well, yes, because like you said, when the left and the right brain come online, you know, symbolized by the dove and the rose, it's of course interesting what happens, you know. I mean, what does this third order mean? What does it signify really in the being and in the cosmos? So I think it would be nice to share some information on that.
Now, my brothers and sisters, I will just tell you that the order of the serpent, the true power of an individual happens when there is this divine cooperation between the masculine and the feminine. It is then that the power that is lodged like a sleeping serpent at the base of the spine starts to rise up the channel. Some preparation has been made by the Mother Goddess. She has made multiple changes in the human body to help us evolve to the next level in our expression as the microcosm of the macrocosm. But one of the things that she did is that she has changed the codes of DNA so that it has enabled us to wield magic. And she did this in the month of November 2007. And it coincides with the restoration of all these incredible bodies of information that's coming through. It was long foretold to me that the serpent order would arise from Eastern Europe. So I kept wondering how that was going to happen, because Mother has sent me to turn keys regarding this, but I don't have, as far as I know, many students in Eastern Europe, and in addition to that, I hadn't been sent there by Mother, so I wondered how this was going to happen. Well, in Toronto, the Ascended Masters that are there, most of them, or a good portion of them, shall we say, are in fact from Eastern Europe. They're Caucasian, or they're Polish, or they're from Czechoslovakia, or and so forth. So the majority of them are from there, and it's among them that it began. They started to have the visions. They contacted me to say, "Almin, is there something coming? We had these visions, and many of us have been bitten by serpents. These spirit serpents would come in, and some were bitten in the back of the head, some on their arms and legs, having multiple bites." I went to Toronto at Mother's instruction, and they could see this huge, massive serpent with markings in some strange form of language on its back. Well, I was sent to Toronto, and on my first day there, a serpent came and bit me on the inside of my right foot's heel. And again, I was bitten in Newport in October. But the teeth marks were there, the swelling occurred, and then it all went away. I could feel the injection of the venom into the area. And, of course, nothing happened. It was an initiation. The order of the serpent deals with Kundalini, that fire, that cold fire energy that goes up the spine. As the masters progress through various levels of the order of the serpent, their Kundalini functions from higher and higher and higher levels in the vertebra. There are actually 32 levels that you can reach in mastering the magic of the serpent, or the Kundalini magic. So, does that answer the question?
I think it does, yes. It is basically with those 32 levels that you will be, well, actually based upon those levels, I take it you will be devising some sort of divination tool as well in the coming year?
Yes, and, you know, it is more a matter of that it has already been devised, and we're just actually getting the information out of the libraries. there is a 96 rune system for the rose, and it functions similar to the one for the Order of the Dove that you have been bringing through, which also is 96 symbols. The rose doesn't have a similar language, whereas it seems to me in watching these runes come through for the dove that they are of a similar language. But there's 96 each, and how those function is more or less the way angel cards would function. In that, you want to know for a specific situation what to do. You would either throw a rune if it's painted on a stone, or you would draw a card, and it would give you that information. Simple. The serpent one that's coming through, and, you know, you and I have just begun to gather its information. We're still in its beginning stages. But it's a whole lot more complex. And did you want to describe to them a little bit about that? Because you know the tarot deck and I don't, and you can at least sort of give them a little bit of information on how it is similar but totally different than the tarot.
Well, yeah, because that's, I think that's very interesting because I remember reading Secrets of the Hidden Realms, which you published last year. And, you know, where you disclosed the horizontal axis, whereas sort of mystical information before, I think, pretty much just seemed to concern the vertical axis. Am I correct in that?
Yes, the Tree of Life, the I Ching, the Dzogchen, it dealt with the up and down, the vertical, the four directions.
Yes.
And we discovered there was another three directions in the horizontal.
Yeah. And, well, and I know of the tarot, which I've used quite extensively in the past, that, you know, the cards in there really map out different positions of the Tree of Life, you know, like in the Kabbalah, and, but it's a entirely, you know, vertical tool, but so far it's pretty much all that we have had, and now we have found that in this, the Order of the Serpent and the so-called tarot or the rune divination tool that's taking shape really is like the tarot in that it concerns the vertical, but unlike the tarot, it also concerns the horizontal, which is really where the vertical sprang from, and that is. Yeah, I'm very excited about that because that's a very novel thing really to have. And I think it would be interesting if you could explain, you know, how what this is about the known and the unknown and so forth.
Yes, I'd be happy to. The divination system of this, like the tarot, maps out existence, except the tarot only mapped out four of the seven directions, and all of life is created from and functions according to the seven. So in the seven directions, the within is actually from Mother's heart, because it's from there where all potential comes. But then you have the direction of above and below. And what this is that it deals with the unknowable. Each direction has 16 runes. So the above has 16, the below has 16. So you have a total of 32 that runes that deal with the unknowable. That which deals with new potential that has never before been left. Then you have the above direction. You have the north and the east, and the north and the east, if you were to have dealt with the old, say, Tree of Life and you made a vertical figure eight, the north is the very top, the east is close to that middle point, but it's the top loop of the vertical figure eight. unknown. And again, the north has 16, the east has 16 ruins. Then the bottom of that loop has two sets of 16, which is the west, closest to that middle point, and then the very lowest point is physical life. It is the south. So you have also got 96 ruins, exactly like the dove, exactly like the rose. But it is positioned to deal with the known, which is the west and the south, the unknown, which is the north and the east, and the unknowable, which is the above and below. And all this is said through Mother's heart, which is within. So it is a very, very profound divination system, and it will be coming forth in 2008 and be available to the public.
Okay.
You know, perhaps we ought to tell them why this magical number of 96 keeps coming up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, my brothers and sisters, space is constructed in a very specific way. There's massive wheels that hold open the space that we call the cosmos in which individuated life exists. There are no other cosmoses outside of ourselves. We have already incorporated them during the ascension. But these wheels each consist of 96 pure frequencies. And the frequencies have each got 9 rays of light that move through them in the shape of a crystal. And at the very smallest, minutest place you find this configuration is in the DNA. You also find it as the matrix of the cosmos. So each wheel, the serpent represents a specific wheel. And it has 96 frequencies that goes with that wheel. So the rose and so the dove. So anyway, please continue with your questions.
Well, I have another question, which is actually quite unrelated, but I'm wondering how we're doing for the break. Is that because it might be a lengthy topic again?
Well, why don't you jump in and we'll break when we get our little cue.
Okay, well, we have a question here which I think I'd like to introduce by, you know, what initially attracted me to, you know, your teachings and the information you disclose is that there is some very sort of refreshing stuff there which is usually not found elsewhere. And this question is really about the sort of the way in spirituality we've been very much conditioned to view the physical as sort of like, you know, the sort of lowly thing, and you know, the as above so below, you know, where the implication is that, you know, truth is elsewhere. And really we've got a question here about, you know, what to make of such ideas, and especially the teachings which teach, you know, like in the East, that, you know, everything is illusion and this whole physicality is really nothing.
Yes. Very nice topic to sink our teeth into. Okay,
yes.
Well, we'll do as much as we can before the break, and then we'll follow up afterwards. So, my brothers and sisters, where the biggest
we
illusion?
We have 2 minutes left on this call.
You know, I think we better take a little break. Why don't we take a quick break? Because I do think it is a larger topic than I want to start. Let's do that, and we'll be right back. And this is now our commercial break. Please join us afterwards.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, welcome back for our final section on the mystical world we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms. And we are discussing whether or not flesh is that illusional, discardable commodity. The material life is in fact less important than the unseen, or if there is perhaps a hidden truth behind that. Rogier, welcome and thank you for your questions today. It's been a great pleasure to have you on the show.
You're welcome.
So, let's tackle that one for our light family. My brothers and sisters, the largest illusion lay at the biggest scale. There is, in fact, a mother that is embodied. And we have for some years been trying to bridge realities to bring about the fulfillment of a prophecy that you read about in Revelations about the holy city of New Jerusalem, becoming physical and so forth. Those things the masters in my classes and myself have been working on. We're able to go in and out of the city, but when we physically touch it, we can feel it and see it at times, but our hands will go right through the walls. So to get it to the point where it is solid and where it's available to all physicality, that has been a very large goal. But the mother that dwells in that city, who actually is governing the cosmos right here from her footstool, which is the earth, is unknown to humankind for the most part. And so, but the cosmos has assumed, erroneously and mistakenly, that she as an embodiment, and she's as, you know, physical to them, the point is that she's one level up for us, but the point is that the embodiment of Mother came from the oceans, the vast layers of consciousness that lie outside our cosmos. To my great surprise, in The Mysteries of Isis, it states quite clearly what the history keepers in The Gift of the Unicorns, the other book in which we give the history of the cycles of the fall, they had hinted at it. But in The Mysteries of Isis, it gives it quite clearly. And then Mother subsequently has confirmed that it is not from the oceans that the physical Mother was formed. It's from the physical Mother that the oceans were formed. So, the first thing is that if that's the case, it's in fact in the physical where life begins. It is not from the higher realms where life coagulates or clusters from. Now, if we take this a step further, I remember one time, it was in 2006, that one of the mothers, it was in May of 2007, because that was the very first time that I was able to speak to mothers' aspects that lay in these oceans of consciousness beyond our cosmos. And I spoke to one of them, and I had been having about a three-day on-and-off conversation with her when the information she gave me was clearly incorrect. And I said, but Mother, I don't understand. This is not correct information. And there was a long silence, and then she came back and she said, you're correct. I cannot see you as clearly. And she said, the most accurate way to get guidance for your path, to get correct information, always lies in the physical. Why? Well, it is in the physical where the unknown and the known meets. So it is here where all cutting-edge information is obtained. That's why it gets problematic when we just automatically assume, because they have a larger perspective, that they necessarily know more, when we have channeled guidance from so-and-so and so-and-so in the higher realms. My brothers and sisters, they don't know more. We know more, if we are aware. What they have as an advantage is a bigger perspective, in that they can see multiple things at once, whereas, you know, we're totally focused on a more narrow spot of vision. So, A, it's in physicality where life began. B, it is in physicality where all new information is gathered and the highest truth can be obtained. And then the other teaching, that somehow the body is an unworthy vehicle for the spirit, you know, for many, many eons of the fall, we could not ascend unless it was in the physical, meaning we could not move to those levels at the apex of human experience. And we described the stages of the evolution of man very, very carefully, showing how the fields transfigure in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms, which you can find on our website. But you had to actually incarnate to be able to get to ascend. It's in the flesh where the divine is made manifest. That is why the earth, which is the densest of all levels of life, is the place where Mother has come to rule the cosmos from. It is from here where the cosmos has been lifted, not from the top. It is from physical life. It has been changed, and spirits in the spirit world can now directly ascend. And we tell how that happened in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But this is the hot spot. This is the place to be. And it is no one's destiny on earth today to die. Death is obsolete in that its real part became removed when the rebirth and death cycles of the cosmos itself cease to be. Now, you know, Ruhir, we should perhaps also discuss with them why there are physical wheels in terms of physical frequencies of those 96 we spoke about earlier on in our program. There are many more physical wheels that have been given.
Right, but you see, just before we can I just
yeah.
Just before we do that, I think you may have to elaborate, though, that while no one on Earth is destined to die now, it doesn't mean that they will not. But that, you know, what's the nuances involved there? Really, they don't have to, even though they, you know, might.
True, exactly. It does mean that it's a choice.
Yeah.
And how the choice happens, my brothers and sisters, is simply the belief systems that we hold onto. And also, it is where we choose to put our perspective. The three ascension attitudes of love, praise, and gratitude creates a vision that allows the regeneration of the cells to happen more rapidly than the degeneration, as dead cells naturally slough off. But the immortality of the body happens when you can manage to create a cycle of rebirth of those cells that is more rapid than the dying off of the old. So it depends on attitude, and it depends on the discarding of belief system. And virtually all my materials cover that, because it has been a fervent goal of mine to lead us out of the enslavement to the illusion of death. So, my brothers and sisters, as a cosmos, we were going round and round and round in loops of ascension-descension cycles. Hence, death actually was a reality. How we broke out of that is that Mother realized that there had to be, as part of the matrix of the cosmos itself, more physical frequencies. A wheel was therefore put in place with sexual expressions, sensual expressions, physical expressions, ascension expressions. All four of those wheels are physically based. There is far more emphasis that has now been put on creating the physical as an eternal vehicle for the soul. So, does that answer it?
Yes, it does, and I think it's actually, I mean, quite revolutionary to find that it's really, you know, as below, so above, and that it's really the form which precedes the formless rather than, you know, the other way around, which is what humankind has generally been taught, I mean, so far as spirituality goes.
And that comment that you just made, I think perhaps we should elaborate on, because part of the illusion during the cycles of the fall is that as above, so below, that it was from above that our destiny was dictated. It actually wasn't. And you will understand why when you read that second portion of The Gift of the Unicorns and the Cycles of the Fall. The mother herself had descended into physicality and forgetfulness because she loved her children so much. She wanted to bring them out of the television screen into virtual reality and 3D. She wanted them to be real. So she actually went in there. It is always at the physical level where life's course is determined. That is why during those ages of illusion there were such attempts made to make us believe that we were powerless and that all our marching orders came from above.
Yeah, and that's actually the last question I have here for today, which is, you know, ties in very nicely with it. You know, what to do about this idea of the guidance from our higher selves, you know, which is pretty rampant in the new age, if I may say so, but it would suggest here that, you know, that's really not much use to it, to this higher self.
Think of the higher self as the pilot that's flying the airplane is your physical self, but there's one in the other seat and there's one in the back seat, and they're watching the skies just to make sure the pilot doesn't miss anything. But if there is an airplane coming from below or there is one from the left, they can say, airplane on the left, airplane on the right. They're pointing out to us through the dream symbols. And we've given as comprehensive as possible a list of the dream symbols, both in the Ring of Truth and the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But if you study those dream symbols in your environment and in your dreams, it is their way of saying there's something you're missing. But it doesn't mean that they're flying the plane.
Right.
So my brothers and sisters, we are possibly now at the end of our show for today, and we hope so much that you'll join us regularly. We will be on Friday nights at 8 p.m. It is a great joy to share this hour with you. And Rogier, thank you so much for your help.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
We will be with you soon again. Thank you so much, my beloved Light family.
We hope you enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.